Morning. Some of y'all been awake. Good to see everybody out this morning. Had a busy weekend, but a good weekend. Had a lot of fun. Enjoyed those kids. The ones at our house was well behaved. Was good. Was did have one knocked on the door wee hours of the morning, but had some clothes went missing one time. Other than that, we done pretty good, but we did enjoy it. And they'll be sharing with you in a little bit some things they have learned through the weekend. I told Brandon last night it would be great for some of us adults to do the same thing they've done. They spent some time. Well, the whole weekend was growing closer to the Lord and closer to one another, and it was great. What I sat in on was very good. So appreciate the ones that opened their homes, opened their time and everything for these young ones, and also East Heflin put a lot into this, so we would like to thank them also. We have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? Remember, our church is, everybody will be traveling this afternoon, won't have any services tonight, but we'll be traveling up to Woodstock, Georgia. That's Johnny Hunt's church, if y'all ever follow him very much. Have Tim Hawkins, a Christian comedian, and you might not want to miss that. It's going to be funny, so looking forward to that. And remember us, as we got to go to Dallas to this afternoon for ordination. A good friend of ours being ordained pastor up in Dallas, Georgia, so remember that. Do we have any more prayer requests? Man, y'all quiet this morning. I know there's some I'm forgetting, and I can't think of them. We don't have any, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us, Lord, of just life, allowing us to wake up this morning. Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask that you be with our youth as they have put a lot of time into this weekend. They've put a lot of effort into drawing closer to you. And Father, I pray that you don't let it end with today. I pray that you put it on their heart to keep drawing closer to you, keep spending that time with you, and sacrifice some time in the morning and time in the evening, or when they can, to spend that time with you. Father, I pray that us as adults, that we will do the same. We'll be an example to them. And Lord, we ask you to go with our service this morning. And Father, everything we do here to honor and glorify your name. And Lord, I ask that you bless our singers this morning. Just let them sing for no other reason than to praise you. And Father, as it comes preaching hour, I pray that you give me the words to preach and help us apply it to our hearts and lives. And be with these youth. If some's going to speak. And Father, just comfort them and let the nerves pass. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our thought of worship.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. He's got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify.
Thank you. rushing. There's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make His message known.
I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops. Tell the world around me, Jesus saves. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves.
The world still tells us daily that God is not alive. Salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But lies don't change the truth that Jesus died for you. And the word says His returning could happen any day.
I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops. Tell the world around me, Jesus saves. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it.
Thank you. Landon, is there something we need to know?
About what?
About the proposal. I didn't even know about that one.
Her husband said, if she says yes, I got to keep her. I ran fast.
I don't blame you. Oh, they had a great time, and at this time, we're going to have some of them come up and tell you about some things that they learned. They done a lot more than just have fun all weekend. They got some good teaching, got some good learning, and they're going to come up and tell you about some things that they encountered and how they got closer. So y'all come on, the speakers.
Logan. Come here. Okay. Hey, Ben. So
I didn't prepare anything.
Neither did I. I'm just going to kind of go with what we did. On the first day we got here and we kind of like went to our host homes and had supper. And then after supper, like got all our stuff together and we went to the church and we did our singing. And that night the guy talked about how the preacher, his name was John, he's real cool. Landon liked him a lot because
Landon's
going to take him fishing. But he was like real, real hipster, and he was just kind of at Landon.
Landon said he needed to get him some Wranglers and some boots.
And so the first night he talked about let's have breakfast, and it was in John 21:1, and he was how Jesus wants us to pause, and as well, and he wants to get to know us. Like we need to get to know him, but he also wants to spend time with us and get to know us. And so it was talking about how the disciples were out on the water and they came in for breakfast. And because like at breakfast, you know, you'd never want to see somebody that you don't like at breakfast. Like you never want to have breakfast with somebody that you don't like. You want to have it with people that you love. So that's why Jesus wants us to come and have breakfast with him and get to know us better. And then on the second day, we got up and we had breakfast at the host home, and then we came here for service, and we had like some dancing. Logan got his dance moves. That's that picture. He was like, but
I've been known to get down.
Yeah, we call him Lolo. The John talked about trust God, and it was talking about in Psalm 63 and in Psalm 32 how we need to pray to God and listen. Like, not only when we're praying, you also got to listen. And he told us that what you get from a prayer of repentance was there was four things you get. And you get forgiveness, joy, healing, and strength. And how to repent is you first be honest. Then second, you be specific. And three, you be sincere. And then we had our little fun time after that. During like the serve, like we did our little hunt and everything, and then we were kind of
big hunt. That was not a little hunt, Abby.
Yeah,
y'all, that picture of people standing in a bathroom stall. Every single one of us was inside that bathroom stall.
Yeah,
it was.
We were. It was 90 degrees. We got a picture with a sign.
You should have seen the lady's face outside the
parked
bathroom.
In the bathroom,
she was like.
Yep, the dog walked in the bathroom stall, and she had to come in there, and she walked right out real fast.
And then last night, we placed second, but really we kind of got first.
Let me tell the story.
Okay, let him tell the story.
He said no.
This gets me in my nerves because we worked really hard. We were all of us were cramped into that 15-passenger van. But it's built for 15 below. Let me tell y'all, I was it was dangerous for me because I had to sit in the front, and there was no seatbelt nor seat. I was seriously dying of heat exhaustion, but no one cared. I got some water. It was hot. And so we had an hour, and we had to get 15 things, and whoever had the most points wins. First of all, East Heflin's already mad at us because we had a lot of people at D-Now, and they had six. But that's not our problem because we worked really hard to get everybody to come. We love y'all. Anyways, so they're already upset at us, so they're ready to win. So this hour passes, and we get all 15 of our things. We get the most points, and we upload them to YouTube, and because that's 2,000 bonus points, which they didn't put in there because. Anyways,
so, and we were behind 1,000 points, so really we won because so we're it was 2,000 extra points.
So we're looking forward to this evening ceremony all night because they're about to say New Harmony got first place.
Logan.
They didn't. we got there, and then the church that had four people actually got 1,000 points, which great for Beulah, but it just kind of upsets me because I was dying of heat exhaustion, and I feel like no one appreciated it.
Logan was mad all night, though, because he didn't win that hunt, and then he didn't win anything in the raffle.
Also, they were giving away door prizes, and Logan had his ticket, and my number was like...
We're being Tommed.
Michaela took his Chick-fil-A gift.
No, listen, my number was 491, and then Brandon over here makes me mad because he's like 494. When he said 49, I was already halfway in the air. My dreams got crushed real fast. I'm sorry. Hold on. One more story. And then after that, John gives away a free Chick-fil-A gift card. Michaela catches it.
And then she wouldn't give it to me.
It was a hard day for me yesterday.
Well, John was throwing it at Logan, to be fair. He said, Logan, did you catch it? Michaela caught it.
Okay, but we also had a really good thing happen this weekend. Dallas got saved, so do you want to talk about it, Dallas?
Yeah, boys.
Well, this weekend, it was really important to me. I really enjoyed it. First off, we talk about how to pray, how to make time to get the Lord in our everyday lives. And I've learned that. And not only that, I've always known that I've always wanted to get closer to Him. But I've also realized that He wants to get closer to me. I've accepted that, and I want Him in my heart. And it was just a really fun time. We've had fun together. And I really thank the host family for letting us stay there. And everything was just great.
I feel like one of the best parts that I thought was one of the best, we had like group discussions at night, the ones at night, we brought chairs around a fire and Chad made a fire, we'd
Chad
sit around.
A fire.
Yeah. I was actually pretty surprised because his fires are usually about this big. And consists mostly of just smoke.
And
he did good.
And we just we sat around the fire, and Brandon went through the lesson, and it was just really humbling and amazing that we just have the ability to come together and talk about our God. Amen. You know, because I mean, a lot of people can't do that around the world. They have to go underground, and it's really dangerous for them. But we can just have these events, and that's just really, really awesome to me. And we would sit there, and Brandon would ask the questions, and everybody was just so honest and open. And, you know, you really learn more about everybody in your group as well. And I'm really proud of Dallas. That was awesome. That was so awesome. And it's just so awesome that we get to do what we do. And Brandon and Carly, y'all really don't know how much y'all mean to us. You mean a great, great deal to us. You really do.
I just wanted to, on behalf of all of you, thank both of the host homes for allowing us to stay there and eat your food and take up all your space. And then also Brandon and Miss Kim for giving up your weekend to work with us and help us get closer to God.
And Sarah,
baby, her birthday really weekend. She's 20.
Happy birthday to Sarah today.
Yes.
Happy birthday,
shall we
Sarah.
Sing?
I was about to say happy birthday.
We were going to sing happy birthday to Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah, come here.
Sarah, come on.
Come on, baby.
Come on, Sarah.
No, come here.
Come on, Sarah.
No, they made me get up here. Come on, Sarah.
Okay. Right here.
Ready?
Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Do y'all feel safe for letting us have your children now? You wouldn't post tell the part all about you didn't have a seatbelt.
Yeah, they don't see that.
They did have had a great time, and they are the Brandon and I talked about all weekend about the spiritual high, and it's so hard to keep that. But we just pray for them that they'll stay on fire and excited. And so we was in revival this week up at Mount Zion West in Tallapoosa, and that's really what I preached last night, was for revival or an event was successful in days to come, weeks to come, or years to come, is how we know if something was successful. So my prayer is that it truly changes their life forever, not just for the weekend. So again, appreciate everybody involved. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter number 5. This is a very familiar book probably to some of you, and some of you may or may not know that the word never mentioned in the book of Esther chapter 5. I get ahead of myself. But Esther chapter 5. But in the book of Esther, God is never mentioned. But you never see a book of the Bible of where God so took care of his people as in the book of Esther. God had his hand on his people, and his name may not have been mentioned, but it's clear all through the book. You can preach messages after message in the book of Esther, and it's how God opens that thing up, but he was never mentioned there. And it was one of the only books that the Old Testament never even mentions. I didn't realize that until I began studying it, but it truly is an inspired book. God had it pinned down for our reason, for our benefit this morning. And the title of the message this morning, if I was to have a title, was Ask the King. Amen. Ask the King. Again, I preached revival up at Mount Zion West and was all excited about that. And again, thinking all week of how bad we stand in need of a revival in our church, but our communities, our nations, the whole body of Christ is standing in a great need of revival. And we come and we set a series of meetings together a lot of times in churches. We will do 3 nights or 5 nights. We'll get special preachers, or we'll get special singers, or we'll do this. And what I've seen as I've been preaching and pastoring is we do the same thing over and over and over, year in and year out, and we never see any change. So what's the problem today? What's the reason? There's no reason that we should have for our churches not being revived when we can come ask the King. In Esther chapter number 5, I'm getting reading in verse number 1. Esther chapter number 5, verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What will thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given to thee the half of the kingdom." Father, we thank you today for this word that you've given us. Father, we thank you for your scripture and how you just bring them alive to us. And Father, we pray today for a few minutes that you let us preach through your power. That Father, I pray you'll speak to your people this morning, and that you'll change hearts and you'll change lives. And Lord, again, I pray for safety as we travel this afternoon, and you put your hand on us and let us have a good time of fellowship. But most of all, may something through him or through me today change lives today. Blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I had probably read Esther time and time again. I'm sure I preached out of it, but I never saw it from this perspective of Esther simply asking the king. It gets a little confusing because we say, well, wait a minute now, she was Queen Esther, so what was the big deal about her asking her husband for something? The big deal about it is, in that day, it didn't matter if you was a queen or a prince or whatever you was, you just didn't come to the king. You had to make special preparations. You had to make sure the king would accept you. If that king didn't hold out that golden scepter to you, guess what happened? You was killed. Immediately, the people, the soldiers there, would kill you they would probably chop your head off. So Queen Esther showed a great deal of faith, even coming to that she was married to the king. It still took a great deal of faith to come. But I want you to see something this morning of what she'd done first. The Bible says she put on her royal garment. She put on her royal garment. Before she went into the king, she put on a royal garment. I wonder today, how many of us come to God to pray? We talked about it a lot this weekend. How many of us come to God to pray, but we're not prepared? We come to God, but we don't have on that royal garment. We have on a garment that is spotted. We have on a garment that is sin-tainted, and because of that, the king can't hear us. Listen, if we knew today that we was to meet the president or the king of England or whatever, or any of these famous people or the world leaders, I promise you one thing, we'd be prepared. If we had to talk in front of him, we'd have a speech prepared. If we had to just sit there and look pretty, Rudy, we'd sit there and look pretty with the best thing we had on. We'd be prepared to meet him. I want to tell you something, church. Every time we come into this house, we ought to be prepared to meet the king. We'll be prepared to meet him. We say we're coming to worship him. You can't worship somebody that's not here. But if he's here today, we need to have on that real apparel and be ready and know what we're going to tell him and be excited to meet him. I can't imagine how Esther must have felt. I can't imagine her back there in her room getting ready and putting that thing on. And she probably looked in the mirror and said, "Hey, do you think it's buttoned right here? Or do you think this part looks right? Or do you think I need to have it cleaned? Or is there something that needs to be done?" Church, when we come before God and cry out to him for a revival, are we ready to have it? Are we prepared for it? Are we at a place in our life where he can send it? I tell you all the time that God will not grant that he will not bless a dirty vessel. He won't use a dirty vessel. He cannot, and he will not use us if we're not prepared. And we're all guilty of this. We get up in the mornings, we are lazy, we're tired, we're beat down, and we bow our heads and we begin praying. But the Bible tells us that before God can hear us, we must have on that royal garment. We must have on that garment that is clean, that is spotless. Genesis 35:2, listen what it says. Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. It begins telling us before we can come into the presence of the king, we need to change our garment. It said, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean and change your garments." This morning, if the king us right here at New Harmony Baptist Church, I'm talking about King Jesus, have you got the garment on that would be right? Have you got a garment on that he would be pleased with? Or is your spiritual garment dirty this morning? Is it soiled? Does it need cleaning? Have you got sin in your life that has not been confessed? You see, we get up in the mornings, and I know today's casual day, but still, you got up in the morning and you took a shower or you combed your hair. You done something to prepare to come into the house of God. Wonder, what do we do spiritually to prepare? Every Sunday morning, we need to put on that garment, that spiritual garment, before we ever leave home. As soon as we get up and we walk into the house of the king, we should be ready to meet the king with the right garment. A lot of times we come in here with the wrong garment on. We wonder, why won't the king meet with us? Why won't he speak to us? Why won't he touch our church? Why won't he bless our church? And all along, our church is not prepared. A dirty garment. Esther knew. She knew the rules. She knew she could be killed if she approached him, but she didn't care. She knew if something was out of place, she could be killed. She didn't know for sure. You see, this old king, if you study much about him, he had his old wife. That's a hard name to say. I think it's been Shedding. He had her put away because she wouldn't agree to everything he wanted to do. He wanted her to do things that a man should ask his wife to do, and she said no, so the king had her put away. So here, Esther, if you know the story about Esther, Esther prepared, and she was married to the king, and here she was with this new garment on, and standing in front of him, she had something she needed to ask him. I want to ask you something, church. Do you have something today that you need to ask the king? Do you have something you need to ask the king? You see, every single one of us ought, should have, I don't see how we wouldn't have, something we need to ask him. But before you can ask the king, you know what you got to do? You got to enter the palace. You've got to enter the palace. You see, if you'll read that, it says something. It says that she put on her royal garment and she stood in the inner court of the king's house. You know, something we take for granted every single day as Christians, something we take for granted is we get to come boldly into the throne of grace. It's something that was done when the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. At the day of the crucifixion, we get to come boldly into God's presence. We get to come into the court of where the king is, and man, we take it for granted and we don't use it. And we sit here and we don't have, because the Bible says we don't ask him for it and we don't have on the right garment. But before we can ask him, we must enter into the palace. You can't ask somebody something if you're not in the same place they are. You must enter into the palace. I read that this morning as I was studying. It tells us in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, 16. Listen to what it says. Boy, it's good. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why do we need to come boldly? Why was it important that we can come before the king this morning? Why is it? It says we can obtain mercy. That's how we save this morning. We come before a holy king, a holy God, and we cry out and we confess our sins. And he saves us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He puts us on our way. But what's better than that? Nothing's better than being saved. But listen, the next part of this is, and find grace. We find grace. You see, me and you, even after salvation, we are sinners saved by grace. We fight a sinful nature. We fight a flesh that so desires to be into sin. It is something we struggle with, we strive with, and we have to fight daily to stay away from this stuff. It's this natural, y'all. The sin, nature is natural. But it says we might find grace and help in a time of need. There's not a single person sitting on the sound of my voice that either needs salvation or needed salvation or has been given salvation. One of us fall into all of that, or all of us do. And there's not a person in here that didn't need mercy. And bless God, there's not a person in here this morning that don't need some help. Anybody in here need any help this morning? Y'all look like you're about dead. I don't know what happened. Y'all stay up as long as I did. Listen, everybody, listen. We need help this morning. We need help in our churches. We need help in our lives. We need help in our communities. Have you ever seen a time, Rudy, that we needed more help than we do right now? You know the reason we don't have help is because me and you is not coming boldly into the throne of grace. We're taking this thing lightly. We're taking this thing called church as it's something that don't mean anything to us anymore. And before churches can get revived, they've got to have a purpose to come into the king's house. But people have sat around. They've gotten so complacent. So spoiled in our country. We went over there to Dominican Republic. And it was a beautiful place we were staying at, but it was a very small part of what the country was about. Never before have I been somewhere, I don't believe, that I had to think about the water that I put into my mouth. I don't think I've been anywhere I had to think about the food I eat. I had to think about everything. Is this going to hurt me? Is this going to harm me? I began reading. I got thinking about what the people made over there. I looked, and the average income is $10 a day. $10 a day. And then people was waiting on us like we were some kind of kings, and they were serving us like we deserved this stuff. But I began reading about that, $10 a day, and they can't drink the water, and they can't do all these other things. And listen, I live in a country that God is so richly blessed, and I can come every single day, Sunday morning, into the house of God, and I've got freedom to stand here and preach all I want to. I can go out there. I can turn the fountain on. I can drink clean water. And listen, every single one of us ought to be up today running the pews and thanking God for what he's blessed us with. But we sat here and looked like somebody's got our best friend, and we all of a sudden, our dogs died and everything else has happened. And bless God, we ought to be a happy people this morning. We need to come in a time of need. All of us have a time of need. As being a pastor, you hear a lot about times of need. I have times of need. I have times. I have to go to somebody else and say, look, I need this. I stand in need. When I was a child, I'd go to my daddy. Well, actually, I'd go to my mama. She would way more give it to you than my daddy would. But I'd go to mama, you see, if I really needed something, then daddy would. But most of the time, it was a want. But I'd go to mama and daddy, and I'd tell them what I needed. And if there was any way they could, they met my needs. And most of the time, they even met my wants. And Stephanie said it spoiled me, but I don't believe it. But listen, we would come, and we would ask them, now why in the world will we not come to our Heavenly Father? Why do we not come? Why are we not ready? Why do we not have our garment on? Why do we not enter into the king's presence? We've been given an opportunity. That scripture says we can come boldly. You know what it means to come boldly? You don't even have to knock, Brandon. You can just walk straight in. You know why? Because you heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm part of that because of what he's done for you. We ought to take it this morning, and we ought to praise him and be thankful that no longer do I have to go in this little booth and talk to this little fella and tell him all of my business. Now I can go directly to the throne of grace. Nobody else has to go tarry and sacrifice for me. Jesus Christ done it once for all. Once I cried out to him, guess what? I'm made clean. The Bible says we're justified. Justified, never sinned. That's amazing. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can enter. What a blessing it is. You see, we don't understand it because we've never been on the outside. We've never been in a place as they was, as the Jews was, where they had to come there, offer their sacrifice, and the high priest would go in and sprinkle that blood with a hyssop upon the mercy seat. We've never been there because me and you were born at the time God chose to create us and under this dispensation of grace. We get to come directly to Him. And you know what happens when we do that? We begin taking it for granted. We take it for granted. We've been giving it to us. I deserve it because I was born in the United States of America. Because it was a Christian nation, I deserve to be able to come into God. Listen, you know what you deserve? This morning you deserve hell. It's what you deserve. You deserve to pay for that penalty of sin with your own death. Your perfect sacrifice to go die for you. You didn't deserve that. You deserve to have to pay it yourself. But He has paid a debt that you couldn't pay. We'll be thankful this morning. We'll be thankful. Not only was she had on the royal garment, not only did she enter into the king's presence, she had a purpose. She had a purpose. This is something you so hard pressed to find these days. People that have a purpose. And you begin talking to somebody, and you know what everybody wants to find? It's funny because nobody seems to have it, but it's what everybody is looking for. We talked about it this week, Brandon. I heard you talk about it. I heard the preacher talk about it last night. A purpose. What is your purpose? Do you have a purpose? What's the reason that God has for you? What's this purpose, that purpose? You see, the reason that Esther had a purpose was this man named Haman was wanting to wipe out her complete. He was wanting to kill all the Jews. He was wanting to do away with them. He didn't like them. He didn't want nothing to do with them. And he tried to get the king to do away with them. Me and you today, we have a Haman. His name's Satan. He desires to do away with us. But guess what? We married to the king, brother. He can't do away with us because we can go to the king. But here she had a purpose of going to the king. What is your purpose? What is the purpose of God every single day? Better than that, do you go to God every single day? Do you cry out to Him? Do you tell Him what you stand in need of? Do you try to obtain that mercy and get what you need in a time of need? Or do you simply just don't even talk to Him? You see, if we have a great purpose, then we will come to the king. Esther did it, and I do it, and we all should do it. Whenever there's nowhere else to go is the sad thing about it. You see, Esther had went as far as she could go. Her uncle, Mordecai, was the one about to be hanged. And she realized this, and Mordecai was all distraught. And the scripture says that he was laid down in sackcloth and ashes and was crying out. And he took this paper and gave it to him and said, take this to Queen Esther and see if she can do something. She's married to the king. And when Queen Esther read that, immediately she had a purpose to pray for her uncle. Not only her uncle, but her people, her Jewish heritage. I wanted to have a purpose. Do we have a purpose? Do you have anything today to pray for? Do you have anything to pray for? And you would be completely lying if you said, I don't have a single thing to pray for. We're living in a community. We're living in a state. We're living in a nation that is full of lost people. We're living in a community that's full of hungry people. And it's all communities. We're living in a nation that people are hurting. They are distraught. They're in a terrible mess. And you know what? God's people come in His most Wednesdays and most Sunday night. And very often do you see anybody in the altar praying. You know why? Because they don't see a purpose. You don't see a reason. Hey, preacher, everything's good in my house. Me and my four, no more. That's our attitude. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a purpose? You have a purpose. You just not might have found the purpose. Every single one of us have something we should be crying out to God. You may have children that don't know the Lord. You may have grandchildren that don't know the Lord. You may have brothers that don't know the Lord, or sisters that don't know the Lord, or friends that don't know Him. Hey, you may have a situation where a loved one's sick or this one or something needs to happen. You need help in a time of need. You need some grace in this great time of need. So guess what you have? You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And what's great about this purpose is we can do something. Once we realize we have a need, we're not caught out here with no way to fulfill this need. We're given a perfect way to come boldly to the throne of God. So for the life of me, and I'm the same way myself, I don't know why I walk around toting all these burdens and burdened down and all excited and wondering what's going to happen and don't know what to do when I've got access to the king. Y'all, do you realize He owns everything? He created earth by speaking. Life is blessed. He can speak and your life is gone. He can give and he can take away. He's everything to us. Hey, you can't put anything there that God can't fix. So I promise you this morning, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. So why today will we leave this place still burdened down and so distraught and still not knowing what to do? Why in the world, when we know for certain we have a purpose? I'm going to give you this week. We're going to enter into a Bible reading tonight at 6 o'clock as a county, as a city. 6 o'clock tonight, starting up there in front of the courthouse. Men, women, boys, and girls be standing, reading the Holy Scriptures to a lost and a dying world. Listen, there's a purpose to pray for right there. Pray that somebody hears that reading and changes them. You say, well, there ain't going to be no preaching, is there? Hey, all you need is the Word of God to be saved, brother. You don't have to have somebody standing here yelling. The Word speaks for itself. Pray that somebody hears that. I don't care who it is reading. Hey, somebody hears somebody read, and their heart is pricked, and God draws them to them, and they become miraculously saved. There's a purpose. There's your great purpose to start with. Let me give you another purpose. Our church. We stand in need of a revival as a church. If you say we don't, you'd be crazy. We do. Are you as excited today as you was when you first got saved? If you're not, you got a purpose. To be revived, you realize what revival is? We get so excited when, listen, I love people to get saved. And I know that's what this is all about. But do you understand something? This is revival season all in our land. Most churches are having revival at this time. Revival is for the church. You can't be revived if you've never been alive. It can't happen. If somebody's revived in the hospital, Terry, what happened? They died, didn't they? They was once alive, but now they died. For a great revival, it's what's wrong with our whole land. It's not mean people. It's not bad people. The problem with our land is God's church has sat down on him, and they need revival. They need waking up. They need shook out their place. And I'm afraid it's not going to happen until something terrible comes upon us. Do you remember September 11th? Some of y'all wasn't born, but I remember it. People even come to church on a Tuesday. Preacher called, and Concord Church was full on a Tuesday. Church attendance spiked. God shook us. God shook us and showed us we're not guaranteed what we have every single day. You have a purpose. Let me give you another purpose. Those children, those grandchildren, every single day are on the highways. They're at school. They're out there. They're doing something. You have a purpose to pray for them. Make that your purpose. Make your purpose to pray for our cities. And our police and our fire department, all these who stand in harm's way every single day. And I could go on and on and on about the great purposes we have. But the problem I have today and the problem you have today, for some reason, I've got the right garment if I put it on, Brandon. It's hanging in the closet, but so many times I leave it there and I choose to wear this old dirty one when I've got a royal one hanging in the closet that I can have on if I just come and confess my sins. I can put on that royal garment. For some reason, I'm afraid to enter in. I'm afraid, well, you don't know what I've done this week. You don't know how I fell short. You don't know what I might have done, what I might have texted, what I might have did this or might have did that. So surely I'm not worthy to enter in. Let me tell you something. We don't have to do like what Esther did. I promise you our king is sitting there with open arms saying, come in. Come in. Come on in. You're welcome. You see what he's done to us? This was coming of all kings. They had a golden specter. Is that rod-looking thing you see in pictures? When one would come in, they would hold it out. And what you had to do is you had to accept it. You had to touch it. You couldn't just walk on in. You had to touch that golden specter. Me and you today at salvation, our king had reached out a golden specter. He said, now you can enter in. Now you can come boldly. So let me ask you today, why won't we ask you? We got the garment. Hey, we got the clothing to wear. We've got a free access to enter in. Only thing I can think of, people, is we don't have a purpose. We don't have a purpose. Esther's whole nation was about to be wiped out. And may I tell you this, things has, to me, morally, has looked up a little bit in the last few months in our nation. I know it's still a mess. But things that you today, we're not out of the woods. We're in a very fragile nation. Very fragile nation. People still have no regard for God. We have a purpose. I desire to see a nation that my kids and one day grandkids can grow up in and stand here, one of them, if they called to preach or sit in the pews, whatever it is, and worship God in freedom. I have a purpose. Pray for every single one of you. You got a purpose to pray for me. You got a purpose to pray for your leaders of the church. You got a purpose to pray for this youth that saw fit to come and take a whole weekend out of their life to devote it to God. May I ask you this, church? How many of us adults would do that? How many of us adults would take a whole weekend and devote it to getting closer to God? May I tell you that probably not many, because we don't see the purpose. I'm glad for this bunch. They saw a purpose. They saw a purpose. And they've done a bunch of praying. And I'm proud of them. But today as a church, can I beg you, can I plead with you, ask the King. Ask the King. Whatever it is that's burdening you, whatever it is that's got you upset this morning, that's got you so unsure, so much uncertainty, ask the King. And nothing else, ask the King. Ask Him to bless me. Ask Him to bless my family. Ask Him to bless your family. I promise you, I challenge you to sit down some quiet time somewhere this week and begin thinking about a purpose that you can take to the King. Think about a purpose you can take to Him. In church, we need to pray that God touches us and that God allows us to serve a burden. That's my prayer this morning. God gives us a burden for revival. God gives us a burden to draw closer to Him. You see, this city, this county, this state is not going to be changed until God's people humbles themselves and pray and turns from their wicked ways. He says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. I said it this morning, this week, preach a revival up in Tallapoosa. We all want revival. I want to come one night, preach. Everybody brag on me, you done the best, this, and all everybody's revived, and the whole city of Tallapoosa gets saved. But you see, it ain't that way. It's got to be God's way. We got to come to the King. We got to make sure we got that garment on. We got to enter into His presence. You realize what amazing opportunity it is as God's people that we can enter into the presence of a holy God. We can come right in. The one that can do anything that you can imagine. I've got complete access to Him. This morning as we stand and come with a verse of song, may I beg you this morning, and I am begging, will you ask the King? Will you come this morning and ask the King? Will you pray for our church? Will you pray for this youth? Will you pray for revival that's taking places all over our land, revival meetings? It's that time of year. No, we may not be having one here right now, but we need to pray. If revival starts over there, it's going to happen over here. I pray this morning that you come and ask the King as we sing.